hope and pray you have too, and we'll continue to have a good day here. Tell you, it's really good when you notice the Lord answers prayers, isn't it? It's very good to see those things. I noticed something this morning that I was going to say something about, and then I forgot about it. So I'm going to say it now. So did any of y'all notice that we had some people in the church that had an issue this morning? Y'all looking at me weird like I didn't know? Brother James sat over here, and Brother Ken sat over there. And neither one of them smiled at all. Am I the only one? I know some of us noticed that. But tonight, they're both sitting over there. I'm glad y'all got whatever was, you worked it out and you got it all. I'm glad. I was worried about that, and I was praying about that. Because it's bad when family has issues, isn't it? It can get pretty bad, especially in church, right? So, but I meant to mention that this morning. I forgot, and I came in tonight, and Trish said, well, now they're sitting together. I said, oh, I forgot all about that this morning. I got him. Lord, help me remember that. So he did. You got to let us know. You can't just, that was shocking. So, okay, all joking aside, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to James. James chapter 1. We got down to we went from verse 1 to verse 4 last week. So we're going to start in verse 5 this week. And he says here in verse 5, and he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Who here is going to say that you don't lack wisdom? Anybody? Anybody going to raise your hand and say that I don't need to ask for wisdom? I'm not. I need to ask for wisdom. And you understand, right, that, and I think you do, that there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom, right? There's a difference here. Knowledge is, well, I have seen people, men particularly that I know of, that can quote scriptures, they can tell me all the doctrines that we believe, but they have no idea what they're for. They don't know how to apply them to their life. That's wisdom, is knowing how to apply the knowledge that the Lord's given you, right? We need to know how to apply. Why? Why do we need the wisdom? How else are we going to live our life for the Lord if we don't know how to apply what the Bible says? Because there's a difference in knowing what God's Word says and knowing how to put it into your life in action, right? There's a difference. When I was in plumbing school, we had a guy in our class. He was called Gold Star Dan. I think it was Dan or Charlie, one or the other. Because he always had the right answer, every time. And he could, when someone asked a code question, he would almost tell you word for word what the code said. I mean, he was smart. So his plan was to get his license, his journeyman's license, then go get his master's license, and then he was going to start his own company. Well, it worked. He kept his plan. He got his journeyman's license. He got his master's license. He started his own company. And then I talked to some guys that worked for him. And they was like, you know what? And they were in school with us. And they was like, he is smart, but he's dumb as a box of rocks. When it comes to applying what he knows, he can't. He can't do it. They said he probably couldn't glue two pieces of pipe together to save his life. But yet he knows everything about it. And that's the way some people are with their doctrines, with the Word of God. They know it forwards and backwards. They can quote scriptures. They can quote from Genesis to Revelation. But they haven't got a clue of how to apply it. We need the wisdom, not of this world, but we need the wisdom from God. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, excuse me, if any of you lack wisdom, what does he say to do? Let him ask of God. That's what we're to be doing. were to ask of God, what will the Lord do? He'll give it to us. You think about this. There's examples in the Bible of those that lacked wisdom. When I was studying this, I thought about the Israelites. They knew what the law said, right? They knew the law. But they didn't know how to apply the law. They didn't know why they were sacrificing. They didn't know why they were doing these things. As it was mentioned this morning, I think it was mentioned in Sunday school or somewhere this morning, about the washing of hands. They didn't know why they were washing their hands. They didn't know how to apply these things to their life. And you think about this. Excuse me. David, King David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, it was wrong. Nathan came to him and told him a story about the little lamb. David got mad and said the man ought to die. Right, they stole the lamb. David and Nathan said, "Thou art the man." What did David do? What did David, when you find in Psalms, it's actually in, I'm not going to turn there, but I'm going to read it for you. In Psalms chapter 51 and verse 16 and 17, he's talking to the Lord and asking the Lord to cleanse him of these things, going to the Lord. And he says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice." But that was a law. It says, "Thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, thou wilt not despise." David, there was a law that said what he should do, but David understood the law. He had wisdom of how to apply it to his life, and he knew that he could go do a sacrifice, and the law would accept it. But if his heart wasn't right, what does it do? He was applying wisdom. God wanted him. The sacrifice was not what was important. It's the state of his heart. Right? That's what David was applying there. He was applying the wisdom of God to that. That the Lord wants us, more than anything, to honor him, to have a desire for him to work in us. And David, in things that David done, it amazes me. And I love the story of David. He sinned, and yet what did God say about David? He's a man after my own heart. Why? Why did the Lord say that about him? And you study the life of David. No matter what David done, he never left God. He never went after another God. He never sought anything else but the Lord. He always came back to him. And if when the baby died, David was praying and fasting before the baby died. And when the baby died, he got up and ate. Why? The Lord could have changed his mind before, but now he can go to that child. You know, he'll go to that child one of these days. I'm paraphrasing that, of course, but the Lord says, the Bible says in James chapter 5, he said, "Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally." Let him ask of God. Look in, keep your place here in James. We'll be coming back here. I'm coughing more tonight, so y'all pray for me on that. The Lord will hold that off. We know he can. Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. The Bible says to let him ask God for wisdom. If you lack wisdom, ask the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 7, we're going to read down through verse 12. It says, "In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David thy father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" And God said unto Solomon, "Because this was thine heart This was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. We should ask the Lord for wisdom. We should seek that of him. God gave Solomon wisdom. Look in Proverbs chapter 1. How is it that we, how do we ask for wisdom today? You go to the Lord and you pray for wisdom. Lord tells us to ask for it. We need wisdom, but where do we get it from? You know, we can read all kinds of commentaries, right? But that's not where we get wisdom from. It's not. We get wisdom from going to God's Word, looking in His Word, reading, studying, praying. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 2, it says here, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. This is what Proverbs is for. The Bible is for. It's to give us wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You want knowledge and wisdom of the Lord, you need to know who the Lord is. Have reverence, respect for God. Know who he is. But look in Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. I went through here, and I circled all the action words in red. I knew there was a lot of action words, but I have a lot of words circled in chapter 1. You want wisdom? You want the wisdom that God can give you so you can use the knowledge that he gives you, so you can apply God's word in your life the way we're supposed to? You can live for him? There's some action words. You know, when I was in school, I always liked action words. They were easy to spot, and I liked action. I liked doing and going and moving. But you know, the older I get, I like those slow down words a little bit more, right? Those action words mean work. I'm not afraid of work. I enjoy work, but I don't work as hard as I used to. When I was younger, I mean, I could work from sun up to sundown and be fine and then go out and ride my bike. I enjoyed that. But now, I work from sun up to sundown. I'm going to be hurting the next day. You know, we slow down a little bit. But these action words here, he says in verse 1, he says, my son. Now, this is wisdom doing the speaking. If you want wisdom, listen and find out these action words, something that you have to do if you want wisdom. We can pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, but then there's some things you need to do if you want the wisdom. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. Now there's a lot of action words, and you think about these here. In verse 1 he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. Will you hear the words of God? When you read it and you study it, will you listen and not just skim over it real quick, not just read it and keep going? Have you ever been, everything's going okay, and then all of a sudden you're unhappy about the way things are going? That ever happened to you? And just, Nothing's changed, though. Everything's the same as it was, but all of a sudden now you're not happy with how it's going. You're not happy and you want to change. You want something different. And I had a guy asking me about that. And I've learned some things in my life. So I asked him. I said, well, I'm going to ask two questions. You can answer them to me or just answer them to yourself, but I want an honest answer to me or you. When did you stop reading as much? And when did you stop praying as much? I'm telling you, those two things go together with our joy. If we don't read and we don't study, it doesn't matter what's going on around us, we're going to lose the joy and we're going to be unsettled and we're going to want to change because we're thinking if we can make a change, that joy will come back. Yeah, he's right. That joy will come back if we make a change. But the change is not changing the situation in our life. The change is getting more into God's word. The change is praying more, seeking what his will is in our lives. But there's a lot of times, and this guy told me, he said, well, I'm reading. I said, skimming doesn't count as reading. Just going over it real quick because you know the story doesn't count as reading. It don't. We like to think it does, though. But it doesn't. Will you receive? He says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, take them into your heart. Understand what they're saying. Believe what they're saying. Receive them. And then he says, and hide my commandments within thee. You think about that. And hide my commandments within thee. Put them in your heart. Put them where they ought to be there. Hide them. They're yours. They mean so much to you. You don't want them getting away. Hide his commandments within your heart, within you. Then he says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. What does that word incline mean? At our house, I know y'all will be surprised at this, but sometimes it's not very quiet. Okay? I know. Y'all think our kids are never, because they're quiet right now, right? So y'all think they're quiet, everything's peaceful, and just really good. Sometimes I'm trying to watch TV or listen to something, and you know what I have to do? I have to do this. Why? Because I can't hear it. Too many people making noise, dogs barking, kids hollering and screaming. They don't holler and scream too much, but they do get noisy. Okay, we get noisy. Because I'll hear about that later, about them getting noisy. I get noisy too sometimes. But we incline our ear. It's a purposeful thing to listen to hear. Did you know that we have to purposely incline our ear unto wisdom? We have to purposely listen to God's word. It's a purpose that we do. It's an action that we do. And then he says, and apply thine heart to understanding. Do you want wisdom? You can go to the Lord and ask the Lord for it. But you know what he's not going to do? He's not going to open up your head and dump it in. He's given it to you right here in his word. And he says, go find it. Seek it out. The Bible talks about it's for hidden treasure. How bad do you want it? Do you want wisdom? He says in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. I don't remember which girl it was. And I think Trish and I were at Walmart. We were in some store. And I don't remember the situation around it, but I remember turning around, and one of our girls was gone, okay? And I've gotten a habit a long time ago, I count. We're out in public. If I got five kids with me, I'm counting to five every few seconds. I'm counting to five. I still do it. I got a 22-year-old, and I count her. Not that I wouldn't count her, but, I mean, you know, in public, that came out wrong, didn't it? Wow, that came out wrong. Sorry, Melinda. But when I counted, I had three, but I only counted two. In that store, I remember not caring who heard. I did not care who heard. I didn't care who looked. I didn't care what I looked like. My baby was gone. I'm finding them. And I don't care who's in the way. They're moving or they're getting plowed over. One or the other, because either my baby went across the aisle or somebody took her. One or the other. And I remember that panic and that hollering their name, not caring who heard. And I think about that here. There's too many times in our lives that we care what we look like, so we pull back and we don't seek after wisdom like we ought to, because we're worried about what people's going to say or people's going to think. He says, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. We need to work at this. Wisdom doesn't come easy. Wisdom is difficult. Wisdom is, the Bible talks about, and I've talked about the golden nuggets in God's word. You got to dig them out. You got to find them. You got to look for them. That's what he's telling us here. In verse 4, he says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. If thou seekest her as silver. Say, well, I do seek wisdom. I seek after it. And I search after wisdom. What kind of seek is he talking about there? Have you ever looked up that word, that Greek word seek? You ever looked it up? Because I think it's in Peter, where he says that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion seeketh whom he may devour. Did you know that's the same word as this word here, seek? So, how are we supposed to seek after wisdom? The same way Satan seeks to devour you. That's the way we're to seek. Do we seek after wisdom the same way Satan seeks after destroy our testimony? Do we? I'm afraid the correct answer there would be no. A lot of times we don't. We don't. We need to. We need to seek after wisdom as Satan seeks after us. He says, seek her as silver, as money, as wealth, and searchest her as for hid treasures. Those things are not talking about the way we seek for money, but it's talking about the precious things in this life. Those things, we need to seek after them. Seek after wisdom. It says in verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. You can't get to verse 5 without getting through verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. But a lot of times we want to pray for wisdom and jump straight to verse 5. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I want to pray for wisdom and immediately, boom, there it is. That's what I want. But it don't work that way. In verse 6, he said that verses 1 through 4 is what we need to do. Verse 5 says what will happen if we do verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then look at reading and start in verse 6. It says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. That word buckler is not a belt buckle, but that word buckler is a shield. He's your protector. He watches out for us. Verse 8, he keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the ways of his saints, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good thing. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. You want wisdom? This is what wisdom will do for you. This is what wisdom will help you with. This is why the Lord tells us we need wisdom. Why we need to seek for it so hard. And it's not something we stop when we find a little bit, but we keep going. We keep seeking after wisdom. We keep looking for it. Look in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Say it. Verse 5, I read that real easy. Do you notice how that just flowed right out of my mouth? That's what happens. Verse 5, we can read that real easy. But how easy is it not to lean on what you think? It's tough. It's tough. One of the best things you can do, but it's one of the most difficult sometimes, is when you go to study in God's Word, don't go with the preconceived idea of what you're finding. Let the Lord show you. You want to do a study, any study you want to do, don't try and figure out the end before you get there. That has messed me up every time I do that. Because then I'm trying to find verses that are going to match what I think the ending ought to be. Instead of just letting the Lord lead through it and come to the conclusion that he shows me, it's always better to do it that way. Always better. And you know what? I rejoice more in that way. Because otherwise, when I'm finding the end that I want, now I'm questioning whether it's the real end or not. You know what I mean? Question whether did I use those verses right? Did I manipulate them? But trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Did you hear that, verse 6? I'm pretty sure your Bible did not say, in all spiritual ways, acknowledge him. Your Bible doesn't say that, right? Does it say spiritual ways there? Does it say in most ways, acknowledge him? No. But it says in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. What do you think he's saying there in verse 6? I think he's saying exactly what it says. And everything that we do, every decision that we make, everything we're to pray about. I've talked to people that said that they're praying. They pray. They haven't stopped praying. They keep praying. You know, when I was at a place in my life once where that I was praying, and a very wise man asked me, can you tell me what you pray every day? Well, when I get up in the morning, I pray and ask the Lord to help me have a good day, to protect me, to bring me home safe. Okay? And for lunch, what do you pray? I thank the Lord for the food. Thank you for helping me through the day. And, you know, and I gave him what I prayed. And he's like, do you pray that every day? And he got down to it. He was asking me all these questions because what I was doing, I was praying, but I wasn't praying. I was saying the same thing every time. Go to bed at night. Please protect all of us tonight. Help us have a good night's rest. You know, it's a good prayer, but if you pray that every night, those same words every night, what do you begin to trust in? Just. There comes a point in there when it's the same thing all the time, the same exact words, that you stop trusting in God and start trusting in your prayer. And it's not going to work. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. Truly acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let the Lord direct us. It says in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We need to seek the Lord in everything that we do. Trust in him. Let him lead in it. Look in Proverbs chapter 4. In verses 5, starting in verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. We need to get wisdom. But where do we get it from? From God's word. And then he says, when we get wisdom, we get understanding, what does he say to do? Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Do you know who your worst enemy is going to be? Well, let me put it this way. Do you know who my worst enemy is? My worst enemy is nobody that's sitting in this church. Not. It's the one walking around up here. See, he's my worst enemy. So, well, how can you be your worst enemy? Because I can justify what I'm wanting to do. I can do it. I can think about it long enough that I can fool myself into believing I've been praying about it. You ever done that? You ever thought about something long enough that you actually begin to tell people you're praying about it, but when you really dig down deep and analyze what you've been doing, you've not prayed a bit about it. You've thought about it. You've pondered it. And you've brought up your own mind and you say, well, this is what the Lord wants me to do. This is his will for me. I know it. I have told people, I've told my parents, I have peace about this. This is what God wants me to do. I look back now, I knew good and well it wasn't then. I knew good and well. I was lying straight to their face. It wasn't what the Lord wanted us to do. It was not. It was what I wanted to do. And I justified it. And I made it seem right. Don't go away from what God has told us to do just because it's something you want. Trust me, it's not worth it. I don't care what it is, it ain't worth it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is, it ain't worth it. Look in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. It says, my son, attend unto my wisdom. And bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard direction, regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. Wisdom. We need to attend to wisdom and bow our ears to understanding, that we may regard discretion. We can know what's right and wrong. We can know what's good thing to do, what's wrong thing to do. We can see more of the end result of it. Back in James, if you will, back in James, there, chapter 1, he goes on in this verse, in verse 5, he says, they give it to all men liberally. The Lord giveth to all men liberally. He will give you wisdom. Those verses we read to you. Why did we go to Proverbs and read those verses? Because the Lord says to ask wisdom, but I wanted you to see. We need to see that there's some things that we need to be doing. We can ask the Lord for wisdom, but you cannot ask the Lord for wisdom and just sit down and expect him to give it to you. Okay? If you knew somebody needed a job, right? And they're like, well, I'm praying for a job. Well, where are you filling applications? Oh, I haven't. What do you mean you haven't filled out any applications? You're looking for a job? Yeah, but I prayed about it. Lord will give me a job. In my mind, that's stupid. Not to pray about it, but to sit down and do nothing. Why? The good Lord gave you 2 feet. Use them. Get up there and go out and fill out some applications. Get going on it. Why? The Lord will give you a job, but he expects you to do something. He expects it. He commands us to do things. We pray and we ask the Lord for wisdom. You need to get in the Word of God if you want wisdom. Because that is, I guarantee you, where it's coming from. If you don't get in the Word of God, you're not going to find the wisdom because you're not seeking it. You're not looking for it. Solomon prayed and asked the Lord for wisdom, right? Keep your place in James and turn over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 4. I want to show you some verses here. A lot of times we get the idea that when the Lord, when Solomon asked for wisdom, and God said there, we read in 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, he said that he's granted him wisdom, with that when Solomon woke up, boom, he had all the wisdom, right? We get that idea sometimes. But that's not the way it worked. That's not the way it happened. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceedingly much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is in the seashore. God gave Solomon wisdom. But look in chapter 5 and verse 12. It says here, and the Lord gave Solomon wisdom as he promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and they too made a league together. So that's twice that we read that God gave Solomon wisdom. He doesn't just give us wisdom all at once. We got to go find it. We got to look for it. Look in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 23. Yeah, 1 Kings 10, 23. It says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear the wisdom which God had put in his heart. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom. But look, when you pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, he's going to give it to you. But you got to seek it. You got to look for it. Well, how's he going to give it to us? It's through his word. I know I've already said that, but I think it merits being said again. That his word is where we get wisdom. And then back in James, he ends that verse, verse 5, and said, upbraideth not. So the verse says, if any man lack wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. So he doesn't end the verse with that. And it shall be given him. Has anybody here not sinned? Anybody? It's not a trick question. We all know the answer, right? The answer is no. There's nobody here that's not sinned. I said no, but then I got to thinking, how did I ask the question? Make sure I was giving the right answer there, right? So when we go to the Lord, well, when we sin and we go to the Lord and we ask him for forgiveness, do you ever feel ashamed when you go to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness? We do, don't we? We do. I do. When I've sinned and I go to him, because I think about everything he's done for me. Everything he's provided, all the ways he's helped me and guided me, led me. Everything he's done. And then I sinned. And I had to go to him and ask him for forgiveness. You know, but I like this verse because it says, and upbraideth not. What does that mean? He won't look at me and say, are you serious? Do you remember what you've done? And you want me to give you wisdom? One of the hardest things that we face in our life. Well, let me rephrase that. One of the hardest things that I face in my life I've worked with people that have messed up. I mean, they have messed up big time. Cost the company thousands of dollars. Then we go to another job, and they want me to put them on the same thing again. I don't. And I've been asked why. You got to prove to me that you can do this. But I have to be careful because I have to let them prove to me, right? Sometimes when people mess up, we don't forget they messed up. You know, we remember that. And so every time we see them, what do we see? I know what I see sometimes. I see what they done, where they messed up. When people try and change, what is it we need to do? Let them. Let them. I'm not saying when that guy came to me and asked me to put him in that position again, No. I might have been born tonight, but it wasn't last night, right? So no, I ain't doing it. Why? God proved to me that he's gonna stand the test of time before I put him in that position again. This particular guy did not prove to me that he was going to do that. I've had other guys prove to me that they would. But I think about the Lord here. He allows us to grow. He allows us. He doesn't remember all those things. If we want to change, we want to grow, and we want to be more what he wants us to be, and we cry out and ask him for wisdom, he doesn't bring up all that stuff. He points us to his word and says, here's all you need. Find it. Study it. And he'll show it to you. He lets us. I'm glad that he's not like we are. I'm glad he's not like I am. Right? I'm glad he's not. In verse 6, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. When we ask the Lord for wisdom, we need to know and understand that he's the only one that can give it to us. It comes from him. He says there, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. I thought there about the waves, and I put that in my outline, and then I thought, I like to talk about leaves better, you know, because you talk about the chaff and everything, and this fall when all the leaves fell, there was a lot of wind. You know, we didn't have to rake up any leaves. The Lord just blew them out of our yard. Neighbor had to rake up leaves, but I was okay with that. I don't like raking leaves. Is that how we want to be? Just follow along wherever the wind blows us? We need wisdom, right? We need to be steady. We need to be in his word. Know what his word says. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't let that man think. The one that just wavers, it goes all around the place. It goes here and goes there. You know what I've seen? I've seen a lot of times in churches where that somebody will, in the world, they'll mess up. They'll commit some sin. And they don't want to get out. They don't want anybody knowing. They don't want anybody finding out about it. They want to rake it under the rug and act like it never happened. So what do they do? I've seen this multiple times. They began to be real good. They began to read their Bible. They began to pray. They began to really search the Scriptures. They do all this. Why? Well, say, well, the Lord changed them. No. They're wanting the Lord to hide it. They're wanting the Lord to hide it. So they're trying to be really good. I've seen that. I've seen people stand up, and they've really seemed to grow. You know, when I was foreman, I had a policy of 3 days. When we hired a new employee, they had 3 days. On the fourth day, if they're not impressing me on the third day, I call the boss and get the check out. Because they'll show up and they will be a worker on the first day. I mean, they will be a go-getter. But on the second day, they're not as much of a go-getter. Slow down just a little bit. Why? They've got a job. They're working. They got a paycheck coming. On the third day, if they slow down on the second day, on the third day, they're going to slow down a lot. I really liked it when we hired somebody on Wednesday, because you find out really quick what they think. Because Fridays, even a good worker has a tendency to slow down on Friday. But the guys that aren't good, they will practically stop on a Friday. And that's what I've seen in churches. I've seen this. People will do all kinds of things hoping the Lord hides their sin. And when they get comfortable, they think it's all over, they'll go right back to where they were. What they'll do? Human nature. I mean, you think about it. What did we do when we were kids and we disobeyed mom and dad? We either do one or two things. We either get as far away from them as we can, or we get real close and loving. Right? What we did. It depends on how bad of a thing I did. If it was real bad, I didn't want to be anywhere close. You know what I mean? We need wisdom. We need to not be a double-minded. What does that mean? Look, what he's saying here is we need to follow God's word. Believe what God's word says. Follow him. Not go after it. Just because somebody makes sense, it was mentioned this morning. Find out what it says. Follow it. Is it in God's word? Is it the truth? Try the doctrines. Try the teachings that people say. I've told you many times, and I'm going to keep telling you, do not take my word for what any of these mean. Don't. I want you to take it home and study it for yourself. I've studied it. I am not scared of what you're going to find. I truly believe what you're going to find is what I'm telling you. And if you find something different, I want to know. I want to know. Don't take my word for anything. Don't take anybody's word for anything. You take God's word only. That's what you go by. That's what you hide in your heart. Not what I say, what God says. Then you won't be. You won't be that double-minded man. I've worked with double-minded people before, and you never know what they're going to do. You think about this. Who here remembers going to the store and putting in a dime and getting out a rubber ball? You remember those rubber balls, bouncy rubber balls? I love those things. I loved them, and I learned a valuable lesson. Did you know you don't bounce one of those rubber balls inside? Because if there is anything on the floor, it's going to go and break a glass, one of your mom's glasses on a shelf. I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. That's what it done to me. You bounce those balls, and it's fun. You can throw it down, it comes right back up. You know, just the smallest thing on the floor will make that change direction. And that's what happened. A double-minded man, one that wavers and goes any direction, you never know which direction they're going to be going in. You never know. I was raised, excuse me, with calling it wishy-washy. You know, y'all probably call it wishy-washy here. I don't know. I call it wishy-washy. So that's me and Brother Bowen call it that. We're the right ones. Y'all are wrong, just so you know. So, but we don't need to be that way, right? We don't want to be. So how do we not be that way? By only going by God's word says and trying what his word says. Trying what we say, going by what God's word says. I think I'm saying that right. I think so. I'm wanting to say just check it out with God's word. Make sure that what I'm telling you is biblical. Make sure what anybody tells you is biblical, according to God's word, and you won't waver. You want wisdom? Go to the Lord and ask him, knowing he promised he would give it to you, right? That's what he said. Know that he's where you're going to get that wisdom from. It's not going to be from the commentaries. It's not going to be from all these other books and things that you can read. But you know, I didn't go to college or anything like that. Some of y'all may say, yeah, I can tell. Especially when I start talking. My English. You know, the Lord has opened up his word to me just like he has the scholars. I'm not a theologian. I'm not. Who do you think showed the theologians what's in God's word? God did. The same God that I serve. He can show it to me. He's where we go to get all this from. He's it. You want wisdom? Do you lack wisdom? Yeah, we all do, don't we? Ask the Lord for it. And guaranteed he'll give it to you as long as you'll get in the word and you'll find it. He'll put it in your heart. He'll put it in your mind. He'll give it to you. He's already given it to us, right? It's right here. We need it to know how to live our lives, how to apply his word. If you're here today and you're lost, I know this has not been a message to the lost, but I'll tell you again, you need to repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and receive him. What you need to do? He's the only one that can save you. He's it. If I could save you, there would be no lost person around me ever. I would save everybody I come in contact with, but I can't. But I can point you to the one that can, Christ, and he will. We'll let's